And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. DJ Bucky here in the Beastquake room. Buck, we are in the Beastquake room. I like this little setup we got in here.
It's an interesting setup. It's definitely not the podcast studio, but it certainly works for us because we've been here the last couple weeks.
All right, let's jump into what we've got coming up on today's episode, Buck. We've got the Monday Night Football recap. That'll be kind of our NFL focus for the episode. Then we're going to jump in heavy on college. What we saw last week, some of the big-time players stepping up, namely Saquon Barkley. We'll have some fun with him. I've spent some time studying NC State and their defensive line and the talent they have there. We'll have fun with that. Alabama, we'll get to them and their performance. And, yeah, we'll talk about Wake App State. We'll sneak that one in, Buck. But first of all, let's jump into the Monday night game. I had a chance to watch the tape. This is my my new routine. I don't get a chance to see it live. I end up watching the tape, so I don't know what was said on the broadcast. I don't know what the narrative of the game was, but I did come away with some interesting observations. Buck, your thoughts on the Cowboys getting after to the Arizona Cardinals?
In general, I think the Cowboys finally stuck to the script, and their script is make sure they run the ball heavy, take away some of the pressure off Dak Prescott. He plays more of a complimentary role, an occasional deep shot or two, and he just kind of manages the game from the pocket. With Ezekiel Elliott, it took him a while to find his stride, but the offensive line in the third and fourth quarter beginning to kind of flex their muscle. You saw them kind of run the ball effectively. Dak made enough plays. And I think this is the way the Cowboys have to play. Will it be as good as it was last year? I don't think so, but I think this is a team that can still be a very, very dangerous team going forward if they kind of stay to the recipe and the blueprint that has been so successful for them.
Yeah, a couple things for me. I mean, I was really paying attention. I know he scored a touchdown here, but after you threw out those nuggets and those stats on Dez Bryant and the lack of separation, Buck, watching this tape, between Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, they can't run.
No, they cannot run.
And I know this is a big win for the Dallas Cowboys, and Bryce Butler stepped up and made some big plays. They got Terrence Williams involved. Even Noah Brown had to go to the R-Lads and look it up. I was like, wait a second, hold up. Oh, Noah Brown, I forgot. Yeah, he's there with Dallas, a rookie out of Ohio State, made a play for him. But that was a little troubling for me going forward into the future. I mean, those have been your two dudes in the passing game. Now, Jason Witten can still be crafty and still use his body.
But they can't be the focal point of the passing game.
They need something else.
It puts a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott to have to make plays. And the plays that he made them outside the pocket where they were able to kind of create, much like Aaron Rodgers has been able to do in Green Bay. But I don't think you can make a living playing that style. I think the big thing, if you're Dallas, what you're encouraged by is the way the defense played. DeMarcus Lawrence had 3 sacks. It continues to be a factor off the edge. That defense is beginning to look a little more athletic, probably more talented than maybe we thought. The young corners are stepping up and making plays. And I saw Rod Marinelli mix in some man-to-man to complement their typical Tampa 2. And so it worked out for him. But for Dallas, I think you should be prepared to play a lot of close games, a lot of games that go and are decided within the last 5 minutes, because I don't think they have the firepower to blow people out like they may have done last year.
Yeah, and the offensive line, well, a little bit inconsistent, but then when they needed to, they got some things going. I put a couple plays on Instagram if you want to check that out. It's Move the Sticks on Instagram. Just watching their line, when they're together and in unison, it's a pretty thing to watch. And Swaim does a nice job, the tight end for them, doing a nice job up at the second level. In the run game, DeMarcus Lawrence, Buck, went back and looked it up. I think he was my 40th overall player that year. But, man, he's a natural pass rusher. He's had some suspensions, hasn't been able to stay on the field, but it's all come together for him. Not only just the natural ability, the technique, a lot of different ways to get home, the effort. He's got a chance to be a really outstanding player.
He has a chance to be an outstanding player, but I think the guy that really has made a difference, Jalen Smith has made a difference on their defense. They're more athletic, their ability to kind of run around and make plays. They have a little more versatility in terms of who they keep on the field, sometimes in those nickel situations. But all of the young pieces that they've thrown into the pot have kind of worked out. And Rod Marinelli does a great job of getting those guys to play hard, play with effort. And that effort is just enough to get them enough plays that allow them to win games.
Yeah, no question. But nice win there for the Dallas Cowboys. I thought Dak Prescott, man, he was efficient. Some of the throws he made on the run were outstanding. We use this phrase a lot. It's a kind of a scouting term, but I think it's very specific when you're watching Dak Prescott that jumps out to me. He's got quiet feet, Buck. It's just real quiet and calm. Even a couple times he's got a free runner, and He just hangs in there. He's quiet. He doesn't get busy. His eyes don't get busy. His feet don't get busy. Those are good traits.
No, very good traits. He's poised beyond his years. He does a great job of finding and making the plays that are there to be made. He doesn't make a lot of mess ups, and they always gives his team an opportunity to win. And you can tell he just has kind of like that it factor, whether it's the toughness, the competitiveness, the fortitude. He understands how to bounce back for poor plays, and I think it shows up.
One of the last points on this game, I remember, has to be 04, 05. LT's in his heyday with the Chargers. And seeing that team, the way they ran the ball, they had motion on almost every play, Buck. You had to honor that. We talked about that ghost motion. Just get him out there. Yep. Hold that backside in. And for the life of me, it's one of those head scratches. I don't understand why more teams don't do that consistently. Have motion on every single play. There's a couple plays in this game where they end up sending that fly motion or a deep motion, and the defensive end can't just attack. He's got to hesitate for just a second, and when he does, they were sending Swaim a lot of times, a tight end, kind of on a cross block, coming across the formation. Well, if that outside edge defender is crashing, he's not going to be able to get to him. But just being able to hold him for a count and a half gives enough time to come across the formation, and Zeke pops it up right up underneath him.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those
things.
Why
don't they do it? Why doesn't everybody do it? I don't understand.
You know,
it's funny
when you see some of the teams that are really in tune to what's going on in the college game, they do it. When I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they do a lot of things with motion and setting plays up, be it fly motion, be it zoom motion where they're coming across the field. You have to use a little deception and misdirection to create some of those big plays in the running game. And we are seeing a couple teams do it, but it is kind of baffling why more teams aren't adding that piece to the puzzle for their offense.
Yeah, the Rams, the greatest show on turf, was a lot of shifts and motions, a lot of different movement, a lot of stuff to mess with your eyes. This just specifically with the run game. Look, you don't have to block him. Just hold him. You hold his eyes with the motion. You don't even have to put a body on him. I just don't understand why we don't see a little bit more of that. Last thing one more time. Zeke Elliott versus Tyrann Mathieu. That was kind of the matchup in this game with the Cowboys. It was like, okay, we're gonna leave that matchup one-on-one. He ran through Mathieu a couple times. He made him miss once. I know that the numbers aren't huge for Elliott, only 80 rushing yards, but it was fascinating to me just how that schemed up. That was 21 versus 32, a whole lot in that ballgame.
Well, sometimes you do that, particularly if you have an advantage. You feel like you have an advantage on the guy that you want to leave unblocked. Sometimes if you have a corner that doesn't necessarily want to tackle, you'll have the wide receiver crack down on the safety and leave the corner for the running back, and you say, that's your guy. And so I think the size differential, the superior size and strength for Zeke Elliott may have led the Cowboys to leave Honey Badger uncovered. And then you want to see, can Honey Badger make enough plays? Can he make enough stops? Will he consistently come downhill and hit? That's what the Cowboys are trying to see, if he would be able to kind of stand up to the test.
All right, let's transition here and jump into some college stuff. But before we do that, are we allowed to do the co-offensive line of the week, Sully?
Absolutely. Let's do a co.
All right,
There's
here we go.
There's a lot
of
good ones out there this weekend.
This is what we do every week. Time now for the offensive line of the week presented by the Ford F-Series. This is something that Sean O'Hara, our buddy, does on NFL.com. You just go NFL.com/Ford. You can check out his Built Ford Tough offensive line of the week. Buck, I've got a couple nominations, and then – oh, this is what I'll do. I'll put two on the table.
All right.
And I'll let Buck decide.
Okay.
Okay, let's go. I'm going to go Chicago Bears, the way they just mauled the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kyle Long getting back in the mix. Did a great job up front. Tariq Cohen got rolling. Jordan Howard had a huge game. That's my one nomination. Second nomination, talk about the Seattle Seahawks for a long time being a bully on defense. What do they say? Bullies don't like to get punched in the mouth?
Don't want to get them hit in the mouth.
Well, the Tennessee Titans in that offensive line smacked them right in the face in that ball game. Up front, getting after them. So those are my two nominations, Bucky. Built Ford Tough offensive line of the week. The floor is yours.
Ooh, that's a tough one, because both of those performances are very, very impressive. The Bears' performance in particular. They didn't throw the ball to a wide receiver but one time.
One time. Did that get a lot of attention? By the way, we talked about that on the pod the other night. I didn't really see that catch on anywhere. That's amazing to me.
That was a nugget. That's something that's hiding in the box score that we're finding for you here at Move the Sticks.
You know,
bringing that up.
Yeah, then being able to run the football the way they were able to with Howard and Cohen. But the way the Tennessee Titans just kind of mauled the Seattle Seahawks. And we've seen teams have success when they were persistent with their running game. But I'm leaning more towards the Titans just because of DeMarco Murray and then Derrick Henry and the way they're able to run. Even Marcus Mariota coming around the edge every now and then. I just felt like they put on a very, very impressive showing against a defense that we thought was going to be one of the stingiest that we've seen in the league.
Another plug. Coming up, we're going to be taping our preview VODs today, and we're breaking down that offensive line in one of those plays.
Yeah, you check those out. By the way, you can check those out on NFL.com/MTSvideo.
Correct.
And that's where we also are doing our video show every Thursday, which is really cool because we get a chance to delve into both the NFL world as well as some college preview stuff for the upcoming weekend.
5 o'clock Eastern on NFL.com/MTSvideo.
5 o'clock Eastern. You can catch it there. And does it live on there after that?
Or it does. So
it's
you
not
don't
a one
have
and done?
To be there. Correct.
It's not a one and done?
We put the full thing up there as well afterwards.
By the way, one and done, and that's not a good topic for today.
Oh.
Some of this NCAA basketball news coming out.
Yikes.
Yeah,
that's tough. Tough.
Buck.
A lot of
Buck,
big programs.
How much gear would it take? No, I'm just kidding. When I first saw the headlines, I thought, okay, this is going to be about, I guess, are they selling their gear? Is it something that turns out it's more about steering players to programs and steering them to certain agents? But when I saw an apparel company, I was like, man, got to give me a lot of free shorts to get me to get fired there. No. Ooh. Yeah, not good. All right, Buck. Last week, you did it again, my friend. 9-2 in your college picks. I need to know what the secret sauce is. Who are you talking to? Who's giving you these
picks?
Well,
I bounced back. I had a poor week. I was 4-5 the week before. So I had to focus in, had to lock in.
9-2?
The TCU thing was just a hunch. It was
just a
hunch.
Went strong. That was a lone wolf on that one.
DJ and I bringing up the rear there at 6-5 apiece.
Yeah, Mississippi State let me down.
You want to talk about getting let down? I'm going to skip ahead on the rundown here.
I'm just glad that we didn't have the North Carolina game included.
I'm at the San Jose State-Utah State game. Barn burner, 61-10, Aggies. But nice. I'm up there in the press box before the game. I'm following the end of the App State-Wake Forest game. I'm with Dan Helley. I keep showing him my phone. First of all, I congratulated him and Sully, both of you guys, on a big win over UMass. that was a little bit of a nail biter.
Talk about a barn burner.
But I'm just following, updating the game, and App State's marching. I'm like, oh, man, we're in field goal range. Got a chance to kick a field goal to win the game down 20-19. All of a sudden, my phone refreshes, and there's no points. I don't know what happened. Penalty. We got to move it up 5 yards. This is great. Now we got a real makeable kick here. We're in great shape. Trying to update my phone. It hasn't updated. I get a text message from Sully that says, like, oh, no. And I'm like, what? What's going on? Like, sadly, Sully, I thought was hoping you got in a car accident. You know,
yeah.
Like, you were just letting me know that. And then I find out that App State has a chip shot blocked at the end of the game. We lose 20-19 to Wake Forest.
Wow.
That hurt, Buck.
Yeah, I mean,
did
you're right
like
there. I know that you kind of wanted it to go. That's a tough deal.
But anyways, you're 9-2. My Michigan State over Notre Dame called, not so good. Notre Dame getting after it a little bit there. One game, though, I think the game of the week, Penn State-Iowa. We all picked Iowa. We all got it right. But, Buck, I went back and watched it. And for the sole purposes of watching Saquon Barkley, he is a freak show. Freak show. He is special now.
I mean, he's a special player. When I watched him over the summer, he is someone that I was really excited about. In fact, on summer grades, I had him as my fifth highest player. And what I wrote about him, rock solid player, explosive traits, home run ability. I said he has 1,000 potential, meaning 100 receptions, 1,000 rushing yards as a hybrid runner in the backfield. And I think he kind of showed that a little bit against Iowa. His ability to kind of jump in and out of cuts. He was kind of a one-man show during that game. And I think the more people look at him, the more you're going to be impressed. And he's different than Zeke Elliott. I know those comparisons out there. I just think he's a different kind of back because he's a 225, 230-pound back who can be a key fixture in your run game but also a dominant playmaker in the pass game, uncommon for running backs.
Well, I know Ohio State fans aren't happy with me, but I've reached out a couple weeks ago, or actually it was just last week, and we had an Ask Five, and I asked some personnel executives, the questions like we always do, comparisons for Saquon Barkley, and one of them said he's similar to Ezekiel Elliott, but he's better in every single way. And after watching him and studying him over the summer and seeing what I've seen this year, I co-sign. I think this guy's a better football player than Ezekiel Elliott. He can run with that same power. He's got the similar vision. They both catch the ball well out of the backfield, but when you look at stop-start quickness and top-end juice, Saquon Barkley is better. This I know I'm talking about. This is the guy led the league in rushing last year in Ezekiel Elliott, as good as it gets. This kid is special. He is unique. He is big time.
He is a big time player. And I think what we saw against Iowa is what everybody wants to see from a franchise back, someone that can really dominate the game, particularly when you need it. And they needed Herculean efforts at times during that game, and he made those plays. He caught a swing pass out of the backfield, made two or three people miss to get a first down. In today's game, that running back almost has to be a hybrid receiver, and he certainly has those qualities.
Yeah, no, he's a fun one to watch. He'll be a fun one to follow as we go through the spring.
Anytime you can break a all-purpose yardage record at a big blue-chip program like Penn State, that says something, obviously. 358 total yards.
Yeah, that was a show against Iowa. One more thing, Buck, on the running back position before we move on through some of these other college football notes. I was thinking about this with what you saw from Kareem Hunt this year. Remember last year at the Senior Bowl, he dropped all that weight?
Yes.
It came in light. And so you had somebody that had power, had vision, had toughness, but then he dropped some weight and added some juice. And I was starting to think back, that's the same Lev Bell thing, right? Lev Bell,
absolutely.
Big, powerful, then ended up dropping the weight. So you kept a lot of those qualities, but then he added a little more quickness, a little more juice. We've seen that happen with Bell. We've seen it now happen with Hunt. Like, I think about a guy like Barkley. What if he dropped down to 212, 213? Holy moly.
Well, because he's still going – it's almost like
they say he's run 4.33 at 230 pounds.
Well, it's like those boxers that their walking around weight is different than their fighting weight. And so they come in. He still will pack a punch if he's lighter. His quickness would only get better. Had a chance to – and I don't know if he was up there before. Maybe you got up there at the opening. But he was up there, and he worked out. And in talking to Tom Shaw, who conducted the workout, he's like, man, I've never seen anybody who's as explosive with the balance and body control that this kid had. And this was on a field with Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, all those guys that Saquon really stood out. And so when you go and you kind of factor in those lifting numbers and all the other stuff that he's going to bring to the table, he's a load. And, you know, we talked about two running backs that are maybe the two best in the game between Saquon Barkley and Darius Geis. It's different, but Saquon's ability in the passing game, I think, is always going to give him the nod when it comes down to it.
No, he's a big-time player. All right, I don't know, Chance, you got a chance to see the NC State-Florida State game. And you said last week, to your credit, you would have been 10-1 because you said NC State could get them. And I said, you're going to pick them? You said, I'll never pick NC State.
I can't.
On principle, you didn't pick NC State, but you did see a little bit of that coming.
Well, NC State traditionally plays Florida State really, really well. It's something they're like matchups make fights. For whatever reason, they have a lot of confidence when they play them. But I think the big thing that stood out in that game, NC State has an NFL defensive line.
Ooh.
And their best player, Bradley Chubb, who is someone I liked a lot. In fact, I had him rated over Arden Key over the summer. Kind of reminded me, maybe it's the single digit, but he reminded me a lot of Mario Williams when he was at NC State in terms of the way that he's able to move as a big guy.
Same number.
I mean,
Mario, like, 9?
Yeah, I knew it was a single digit. So, yeah, their ability to kind of get off the edge and play with strength and power, but also have a little finesse to it, hard to find that in defense end. Also so light and nimble on his feet.
By the way, the cell service in the Beastquake room, pretty terrible.
Oh,
Pretty terrible.
It's the worst.
I got a painter. I've been trying to send him a text message since we started this podcast. I can't get it to go through. Not happening. Sorry, buddy. Hopefully he doesn't leave. Anyways, Buck, I went back and watched that this morning. I watched Bradley Chubb solely, wanted to study him. And there's some Michael Bennett-type stuff that he does. I mean, you can see it now. Big-time burst, great with his hands, can get low to the ground. Kind of a mixture. I see a little bit of Derek Barnett, but I think he's got a little bit more juice, a little more giddy up there. And so I see a little kind of a mixture of Barnett and Bennett. I mean, he is a really, really good player.
I mean, really good player. And in this draft, well, I mean, we shouldn't speculate.
Hypothetically,
potentially, in this draft, if you need a pass rusher, you absolutely will be able to find it because I think it is plentiful this year, the kind of rusher that you want. You have guys with size, strength, and explosiveness. You have the smaller guys that are quick and explosive coming off the edge. You have some of the hybrid guys that might be hand-down guys or stand-up guys. There are a lot of options available potentially at the top of the draft.
Potentially. That's like allegedly.
Yeah, you know.
Allegedly.
A lot of people.
Buck, was there anything more predictable than I'm trying to think of what this would be like. Okay, let's see. Okay, you have older brothers, little brothers?
Younger brother.
You have younger brother.
One younger brother.
So I'm sure at some point in time, and I know your younger brother was a hooper, was a big-time hooper, right?
Yeah, he did play hoops.
But I'm sure at some point in time when you were growing up, he tried to, like, oh, I could get you. You know, we can go. And every now
oh,
and then,
every now and then
you got to go, all right, you know what? I'm not spotting you. Not spotting you anything.
We'll oh no, we don't do
this
that.
Thing straight.
No, we played it straight. We played straight up.
And
all
you
the
got
time.
And you got to flex on them just a little bit.
A little bit,
because that's what Alabama did to Vandy.
Oh yeah, you know, like sometimes you got to
remind him. Now I'm big brother, you're little brother. Let's not get this confused.
You got to be careful when you call them out. Like I know you got to be careful when you say we want them, we ready for them, we want them. So they asked for them, and they got all of them.
And I mean, dude, that specifically called him out too. Oh my goodness, there is one play where they were going into a bump out of break and showed him, and he got choke slammed at one point by a Bama dude.
I don't know if I'm gonna make a living calling those guys
out. I'm not gonna call it Bama ever. No,
yeah, leave that one alone. But that one jumped out to me a little bit there. Man, what a dominating performance by Alabama. Anything else jump out to you from the college football weekend, Buck? The Tar Heels, were you guys off?
No, we might as well have been. We lost to Duke, so
it's just right.
It's just a bad year, Tar Heels. But guess what? Basketball season is a-coming.
Hey, just be glad you guys haven't got caught up in this NCAA scandal.
Not yet.
Congratulations on that. That's big.
Hopefully.
And the other one, here's my other takeaway I wrote down here.
Georgia.
Well, I was going to go the other side of that game.
Yeah.
We used to always say, like, I think we – talked mm-hmm. about this before. I had a scout that used to always say, never draft anybody from MSU. It didn't matter. Michigan State, Mississippi State. Just don't do it. This had bad luck. He had bad luck with that group.
Yeah.
But so since then, I've always just had some level of distrust with both of those football programs. And I picked Michigan State this week against Notre Dame, and they got crushed. And then Mississippi State riding high. I do love Dan Mullen. I think he does a lot with what he's given there.
Emotional then, game. It was going to be hard for
Georgia
back.
Again, Georgia was like, nah, you're still Mississippi State. Let's not
I
get
know.
This confused.
First play,
here.
Too. Just flea flicker over the top. See ya. Taking the top off.
It was not pretty.
I do have something that came up because I was asked about this. The year of the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Give me some. What do you got?
Did we
– underwhelmed?
You think we overdid it a little bit?
You can never overdo it on what we do.
I mean, you think maybe
I still think
it?
Though. I still think when we stack it up at the end of the year, depending on it, we'll see who all comes out. I still think it's a better group than what we had last year. Look, it's not Josh Rosen's fault that they can't stop anybody.
No, I mean, like, so here's the deal. Like, I think it's funny. I feel like now after watching the group from last year, maybe we were maybe too hard on them. Maybe.
Have you liked what you've seen from Kaiser so far?
I mean, I don't dislike
some good things, but I don't know.
I don't dislike. It. I just
we had Kaiser at the bottom one, on top of two. That's what he looks like right now.
Yeah, I mean that's what he does for a first year player. I just wonder, like, now, how long before we kind of move off of Josh Allen a little bit? Because I believe Josh Allen is still.
I got his game this weekend.
I know if he comes up like he's a senior, so he would Richard Jr. He should come out if he does. I think he will be really a test case for evaluators on whether to go on production or potential, because potentially he has all the tools that you look for. Big arm, athletic, can make all the throws, does some of the stuff that you like. But production-wise, it's hard to justify the way we talk about him, the way people have been effusive in their praise over him, him being a franchise guy, those who have speculated that he could be the top one of the guys in this class. It reminds me a little bit, and I think he's a more talented player than Blake Bortles, but it reminds me a little bit about the Blake Bortles thing when we get to it, because he'll be far removed from playing on the field, and it would be a lot of what he does working out and in shorts and the like. It's been an interesting conversation.
But here's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's a fascinating conversation. It used to be we had the Bill Parcells formula, right?
Yep.
It was 30. What was it? 30 starts. Win a certain percentage of your games.
23 wins. 30 starts.
Certain
graduate.
Size. Yeah. Graduate. Captain. Certain height. You know, all that whole deal. So now let's just go back last year to the discussions that we had. Patrick Mahomes played in a popcorn offense, right? I mean, like, it's just that has nothing about that offense translates to the next level. That's the line on Pat Mahomes. That's a knock on him. DeShone Kizer, Notre Dame's terrible last year.
Yep.
If you're a good player, you elevate the play around him. You have to have a winning record. Didn't happen last year with him. Watson, Had some the turnover thing. The turnover was a big knock on
him. Turnover issue.
Got to be able to overcome that. And again, a little bit of an offense that, you know, you got to transition into the next level with that. What other quarterback did we have last year?
Trubisky.
Oh yeah, Trubisky, who hadn't played enough.
13 starts.
13 starts. So you have to factor in that. So let's just go through. Not saying all these guys are going to come out, but the biggest issue, the biggest question mark with the guys. You ready?
Yep.
All right, I'll fire him away. Darnold.
I think the biggest thing they're going to question, it's going to be the turnovers, because right now, what, in three games?
It's got seven.
Six or seven
turnovers. Like,
and some of those we can go back and we look at the tape and we say, okay, some of that is him, some of that is others. But when we look at the numbers, I mean, that's a lot of turnovers early in the year. So say he finishes with double-digit interceptions, how does that change the narrative? I believe that, look, the way that he plays – that's who he is. He's a gunslinger. It's in his DNA. And so with that, there are going to be some high-risk, high-reward throws that may go to the other team. But he has the sauce, meaning he has that stuff on the inside that you can't quantify. And so you want him because he's the guy that always finds a way to help his team win. And so I think the biggest issue is, how do you kind of recognize and deal with the turnovers, because all the other stuff is there, and that's what you want.
Yeah, last year, 31 touchdowns, 9 picks. This year, 9 touchdowns, 7 picks early in the season. So that number is going to go well past 9. Again, we've broke them down. And the one last week was on him, was underthrown seam. That interception was definitely on him. Some others haven't been. But I think the turnovers and the release will be the two topics of conversation.
You think the release would be that big of a deal when we
there's
get to
people
it?
That get hung up on it. Yeah, there's people hung up on it. And it'll also be – we'll see the hand size too. Because there's some people who have said, wait, do you see his hands aren't that big? We'll see.
Oh, he has small hands.
We'll see. That'll be just something to keep an eye on. All right, that's Darnold. Two, let's go. Rosen is going to be, attitude and personality-driven.
It's going to be the personality. I think it's going to be the prickly personality. The best way that I can compare it, he will have kind of the Jay Cutler thing. Whatever you feel about Jay Cutler's personality, demeanor, the way that he kind of engages people, I think Josh Rosen will fall into that camp. And so that may not work for everybody. But for some people, it will. So in Miami, Adam Gase works with Jay Cutler. There may be an offensive coordinator in the meeting that kind of connects with Rosen, and it works out. I think of those two, I think Sam Darnold is a guy that if we polled all 32 teams, I think we could drop him into any quarterback room, and it wouldn't be a problem. With Josh Rosen, I don't believe it's going to be the same feel, that we could take him any 32 teams, any of the 32, we just drop him in, and it's not an issue. And so because of that, I think that Sam Darnold will always get the edge in the race, because he's easier to see being in any building.
Want me to wrap this all up in a bow for you here as we get to
wrap
Josh
it in
Allen.
A bow.
I like to be able to try and make this thing all come together. Sam Darnold, protection of the ball. Protection of the ball. Rosen, personality.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, production.
Yeah.
Against big time.
Production. Everything. They played Hawaii last week. So,
right.
I mean,
nine for 19, 92 yards.
So, I haven't watched it yet. I need to watch it. I mean,
I mentioned it.
They got nothing. They have nothing around them, but that's the hurdle you're going to have to get over.
That's the hurdle. And, man, because I wrote about it, I'm trying to pull up these stats. I found these stats for him that kind of threw me off. Let's see what we have. Like, this is prior to last week's game against – 3 games against Power 5 competition, 50% completion rate, 1-8 touchdown to interception ratio. Against FBS teams with winning records, this is before, 11 games against winning programs, 53.3% completion rate, 15-15 touchdown to interception ratio. And so when you're looking, he just doesn't dominate the big games that you would like to see him dominate. And I think some people are going to have an issue with that, despite the arm talent, the size, and the fascination with what he could be. When you look at what he's been, he hasn't lived up to that perception.
You know who wasn't a first-round pick, but we had a debate, an argument when he was coming out. I think it was Mike Glennon. Was it Mike Glennon? Because I remember pulling up his numbers against teams with winning records or something like that, and it was bad.
And I was bigger on Mike Glennon. I gave Mike Glennon a first round grade.
Yeah.
So yeah, it might have been that, and part of that was I was there. He threw for almost 500 yards.
Yeah.
I was in the building. He threw about 500 yards.
That's why I'm not going to any more games.
Come on.
Live games have screwed me, Buck.
I mean, look,
they've screwed me.
The Johnny Manziel thing,
well,
but you got to feel
it. Week already.
I know I'm going to see Allen next week, but I Derek Carr. That was my one time seeing him live was against USC, the worst game of his college career.
Yeah, but, you know, I think some of that stuff kind of pops back, though. Like
We saw a little bit of that.
He's been good and bad. Like, yeah. He went through a phase, was it his second year, where we were like, ah. And then last year he was really good. And then, you know, look, the Washington game wasn't his best. Interceptions right out the gate. They throw a lot of quick rhythm things. So we'll continue to see how he continues to adjust his game as people adjust to him. But, yeah, I'm big. I wish we had open conference. I like games.
Last question on the college thing here. Luke Falk, how pumped is he for this week?
Woo. It's a big stage game. Big stage
Friday
game.
Night Friday at night, home.
At the Palouse.
USC, Sam Darnold come to town.
He's the only short time. I mean, like,
everybody's going to be watching both.
Well, that, and if you are a competitor that's worth a salt and everyone has told you that the guy across the field is the dude,
let's go.
Hold on. There's a little something in all of us that are like, no. You guys came to see me, but you just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see how he has an opportunity to deal. This will be a really good game because I think we kind of view him in a certain light, not as maybe as a game manager, maybe as kind of like what? Okay, I mean, what,
more of a system quarterback.
Our show is sponsored by Ford.
Yes.
Okay, so we kind of view him as a Ford Taurus, right? It's nice. We can kind of get around town, stuff like that, but it's not flashy. It's not. It's not like a Lincoln.
It's not the or the
which
big
is,
or
which
the
is
big
the cousin,
flashy
the cousin
F-150.
Of Ford. Yeah, but it's not that. So he's just a nice get around car. Let's see if he can be a little more than Taurus.
It's gonna be a couple scouts gonna be there. It'll be a big
opportunity.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that thing could be packed.
Oh yeah.
That thing could be packed. See, DJ has a place that he likes to eat up there, so I'm sure the guys.
Oh,
will
I
be
do.
There
I
early.
Did. I had a spot there, but it didn't end well. That was our story. Remember our story with John Robinson?
Oh, J. Rob. Yes.
Yeah. So we were in there. I've told it before, but we went to go get a sandwich, and I told him, I said, "This place, I've been coming here for years. J. Rob, you're gonna love it. Let's go. Get a little break after we finish the tape before practice. All right, I trust you. Let's go." So we go, we order our sandwiches, we sit down, and he takes a look up and looks
the
up
sanitation
and sees
great.
above like the salad bar, there's fly paper that runs like the whole length of the building, and there is so many bugs,
But they caught them all. They caught them.
We'd already ordered our sandwiches, and he looks at me and goes, "Let's get out of here."
Come on, they caught them.
No, we
they caught them on the wall, DJ. I mean, you're a little hard on them.
Yeah, it was not a good situation. Them. I don't know. I don't know if they're still in business or not.
Whew.
Don't think I'll be going back. Sully, I think we're done, buddy.
Yeah, we covered all the bases. It's time to go tape some video.
Yeah, we got a little video tape in here. Again, all of our video stuff you can check out, NFL.com/MTSvideo, including our live show, which will be Thursday 5? We're going 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock Eastern.
5 Eastern on that, so you can check that out. Buck, nicely done. Congratulations on your big college week. I would try and
– trying to go back-to-back.
Trying to get better. Convince myself that I'm going to catch up, but I'm going to be honest with you. The confidence is a little low.
Hey,
little low
just
right
rip
now.
Off another 9-2. 10-1.
I don't know if
this week you'll be right back in it.
I don't know if I got it in me.
You got it in you.
I don't know.
I believe in you.
I'm going to start letting my son make these picks. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys so much for listening to Move the Sticks presented by the Ford F-Series. We will catch you next time. Appreciate it. See ya.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.